Father, we give you praise and give you glory. We're so grateful today for Jesus, that he came and to live and to die for us and to be raised on the third day so we could really live in this life and in the next. Lord, I ask just for utterance and boldness today. Lord, even the hardest heart, that their heart may be melted under the power of your word and under the power of the gospel. We'd be open to you and to your plan for our lives and to see what your plan is and for us, for this church. And as we get ready for just some of the most amazing days of our lives coming up in the future. So we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, open to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Scripture we've read a lot this year. We've been talking about one heart and coming together as a body. And these verses were an inspiration for that. Acts 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So we started One Heart earlier this year. We went to one service and we started off with a series of messages and talking about being one, talking about coming together. And we've seen it in so many ways, this oneness here at Good News Church. During the One Heart Generosity Campaign, last Sunday we went over $41,000. And I was just looking at the roster of those that had given, and it was 124 different families. Where are those families? 124 different families. So that's an average of $330 per family. And we've said that's over and above the over and above normal tithes and offerings. And so we have done it. We've done it together. And then we had a work day just recently, and it was just one of the best work days we've had in the 17 years of this ministry. Just the spirit and the attitude and the heart. And we had too many people, too much food, too many people. But that's a good problem to have. And so some really good things have happened this year. And I've seen people just rise to the occasion. I've seen leaders rise to a new place. And so many different things that God has done in this year. And he truly has poured out his blessings in astonishing ways. So in these verses, it talks about the values of the early church: fellowship, prayer, generosity, worship. But one of the values that you can easily overlook in this listing here is the breaking of bread. And certainly they're talking about, you know, time together and meals together and sharing food together. But it's also talking about the Lord's Supper. Today we call it communion. That they had the value of breaking bread, of having communion together. So, and it was a top value for them. And so today I just want to talk a little bit about why communion was so important to them. And I'm just going to read some scriptures, and probably just best to follow along on PowerPoint here on the screens, because it's from the Message translation. But let me read from 1 Corinthians 11. Starting at verse 22. It says, "Let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and passed them on to you. The Master, Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me. After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me. What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your own words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be a part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. If you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the Master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of serious consequences. That's why so many of you even now are listless and sick, and others have gone to an early grave. If we get this straight now, we won't have to be straightened out later on. Better to be confronted by the Master now than to face a fiery confrontation later. So, my friends, when you come together to the Lord's table, be reverent and courteous with one another. If you're so hungry that you can't wait to be served, go home and get a sandwich. Anybody? But by no means risk turning this meal into an eating and drinking binge or a family squabble. It's a spiritual meal, a love feast. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but these words in Corinthians are the first recorded words of Jesus. That this 1 Corinthians was written before the Gospels. And so the first recorded words of Jesus are about communion or the Lord's table or the last, you know, the Lord's Supper. And what it symbolizes, the bread and the wine or juice, it symbolizes the body and the blood of Jesus, the body broken, the blood poured out. And again, the tradition goes back to the Last Supper. So the tradition goes back 2,000 years ago. And it's so amazing, so that what we're going to do today connects us with Jesus, connects us with the early church, and all the believers that have gone on before us in the last 2,000 years. It connects us with this local body, connects us with our families, and it connects us with the body of Christ in the earth and in the world. You know, I've had the privilege of going to other nations and going to other places, and none more apparent to me when I went to Fiji this year and we were preaching there, and just the sweetest people you ever met in the world. But we were connected because we were in the body of Christ. Differences in culture and background and education and finances and so many different things. So many of the people there are unemployed. Over half the population is unemployed. Average wage is, you know, less than several thousand dollars a year. You know, so you just, it's hard for us to relate. But those that knew Jesus that we met there, I mean, just the spirit, the love, we were connected even though we're, you know, 14 hours away from each other. Connected through Jesus, connected through the Word, connected through His love. So today, as we receive communion, we're connected to the past, but we're also connected to the future, because He said, do this until I come. And then one day, and this is going to be an amazing day, one day Jesus will come for His church. And boy, we hope for that day. We look forward to that day, and hopefully we live our lives like He's coming today. Some people thought it was going to be, on Friday? Didn't happen. But I mean, I asked you this question, were we ready on Friday? Were we prepared? You know, that's a good question, because sometimes you can get lost in this life and in this world and in stuff and things that don't really matter. You know, what really matters is people. What really matters is relationships. You know, that's what the most important. That's why Jesus died, was for people to be saved. And you know, sometimes in the midst of all, you kind of forget that. Sometimes we just kind of focus more on condemning others than saving others. But so the Lord's table and receiving communion is a reminder of our history and where we are, but it's also a reminder of where we're going. Jesus talked about my new covenant with you. What does that mean? Well, a covenant is a relationship between two people. And it usually has a stronger and a weaker. And covenant is all about giving of yourself. We talk about the marriage covenant. It's a giving of yourself. It's becoming one. It's overlooking faults. And where one is weak, the other is strong. And so together you become stronger than you were separated. And the Bible is all about covenants. And in fact, the Bible's broken down into Old Covenant and New Covenant. Old Testament, New Testament. But the Old Covenant was based on law. It was a relationship between God and man, but it was in Israel, but it was based on law. And for people to come to God, to approach God, there was conditions. And if the relationship was going to last, they had to keep the law. That's why you have all the sacrifices, because of all the mistakes. You know, why the blood was shed and all those things that they did, all the different rituals. But with Jesus, he brought something new. He brought a new covenant. And it's not dependent on the law, but it's dependent on love. It's dependent on free grace. The salvation is a gift. It's not based on works. And that's why faith is so important, where we receive his grace. We can't be bad enough to be disqualified from his grace, and you can't be good enough to earn his grace. His grace is a free gift. And that's what's so amazing about the gospel and so amazing about Jesus. I mean, why? Because of his great love for us. And so under the old covenant, man could do nothing but fear God, ever in default, because he could never perfectly keep the law and the covenant. But the new covenant is like a child coming to their father. It's that kind of a relationship. That's why Jesus called God the Heavenly Father. And now because we're in Christ, God is now our Heavenly Father. And because now we're sons and daughters, we're now in Christ. So many wonderful things have happened. So the bread represents Jesus' body. It represents life. It's the very life of God. The very life of God that's now in us. Isn't that amazing? God's life is in us. This life nourishes us. It sustains us. It gives us strength and energy. And all that Jesus is ours. His peace and his joy. It's not something we're trying to get one day. We possess it. It's a part of us. The wine and the juice represents Jesus' blood. And thank God it was poured out, and it was poured out for forgiveness. It was poured out for reconciliation. I love what it says in the Hebrew of these scriptures. It says, "This cup is the new covenant, and it cost me my blood." It's pretty amazing, isn't it? This is the new covenant, and it cost me my blood. So we partake of it together today as we receive communion. We partake of it as a body. We partake of it as a body of believers. We celebrate today his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we remember what he has done for us. As we receive it, we remember what he has done, the price that is paid. And we remember today that we're saved. Anybody here glad you're saved today? Anybody here glad you're going to heaven when you die? Anybody here glad that you're filled with the Holy Spirit? God himself fills you up to overflowing. Anybody here glad today for mercy, forgiveness? Anybody here glad for his peace? Anybody glad for his miracle power working in his life, in our lives, his provision, his healing power? Anybody glad for his grace that gives us ability beyond our abilities? I mean, not only can he help us, but we can in turn help others. That same love that God showed for us can work through us and help other people. I'm telling you today, he's good. I mean, words are not adequate to describe his goodness, his faithfulness, his care, his concern, and his mercies that's new every morning, and his forgiveness that really forgives. Unlike people, he forgives and he forgets. And unlike people, there's no record. I mean, do you ever have people in your life that bring up your past sins? Day after day, year after year. Doesn't it get kind of old? There's no record of your sin in heaven. There's no videotape. If they pulled up the videotape of your file of your sin, it would be blank. There's no fear for the believer on Judgment Day. We have nothing to fear because we've been forgiven. And we don't take that as a license to sin or to do wrong, because we know we'll be forgiven. But it's a precious thing, and it motivates us to do our best and give our best to God. We have an inheritance today. We're now in Christ. And I want you to know today, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper again, that you've got a bright future, that God's got a plan for you. And I believe, I've been praying, and I know others are praying, that this plan will come to pass, that it'll be fulfilled in your life. Now, there's several different parts to receiving communion, but there's a part about not discerning the Lord's body. What does that mean? You know, there's two different things I could say, and we could say more, but first of all, as you're receiving the elements, when you don't discern the Lord's body, you're not realizing what the symbols of the bread and the wine or the juice, what it means. That you have no reverence for it, no respect, no honor, no gratefulness. Taking for granted God's love and His forgiveness and His mercy. I guess we don't realize what we have. And so as we receive the elements, to recognize and receive what we've been given. Freely we've been given, freely we give. We're so blessed. And I know, you know, during Christmas season we feel so inadequate. I think during Christmas season we may feel more about lack than we do about abundance. But I want you to know today that you're blessed. You're abundantly blessed. And there's billions of people around the earth, they may not even know it, but billions of people around the earth that would like to have what you have. And we have it. And so much has been given to us. And so we have much great responsibility here today. But you can get lost in this season. You can get lost in lack and, you know, what I don't have. And I don't have this, I don't have that, and so has that. And I mean, you know, it's almost, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about presents, but I was out yesterday, it was just almost sickening. It really was. It was really, really sad to see the looks on people's faces. The lack, the want, the envy, the jealousy, the just disappointment. I saw one lady, she was smoking a cigarette, it was by Target Center, and I don't think she was working, but she was just over there by one of the corners, and she was kind of just huddled down there smoking her cigarette, and she had this look of grief on her. And I didn't really, I mean, I didn't have time, I was so busy. But I should have went over to her and said, "What's going on here? You know, we're vacation and family time and Christmas and lights and all the rest. I mean, you should be full of joy. What's going on?" Well, I tell you, what's ever going on, I know what's behind it, because there's an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he's out to hurt people. He's out to destroy people. And that's his plan. But thank God today, the devil's under our feet. Thank God we've got victory over him because of what Jesus did. And we can put him in his place. So not discerning the Lord's body, just kind of forgetting about what's it all about. And it's easy to do in the midst of all that's happening for that to forget. But I want you to remember today. I want you to remember today how good God is. I want you to remember today how blessed you are. I want you to remember today that you are forgiven. I want you to remember all the miracles and all the things that God has done for you. And I just want you to remember today that He's not through with you. I want you to remember today that the best is yet to come. And maybe you're sitting here today and you need a miracle. Maybe you don't know how you're going to make it through the next day. But I want you to know He's got kings on His way right now. That they're following their star. I want you to know that provision is coming. And you may be sick in your body or in your emotions or in your mind. I want you to know the healing power, just like He's always done. He is that same God, and He'll do it for you today. And I want you to know there may be relationships that are broken right now. I want you to know His forgiveness and His reconciliation are there. And He can bring people together because that's what He's best at. Second part about not discerning the Lord's body And this is the one I just want to spend a few minutes on before we get the elements ready here. Is not recognizing the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? This is kind of a deep message before Christmas, isn't it? Is that okay?
Yes.
Pastor, you just had to just... Why couldn't you just do something, you know, read the Christmas story? I don't know, I just can't do that. Not recognizing who the body of Christ is. You see, the body of Christ is your brothers and sisters. Your brothers and sisters. And I know I've said this before, and you just like, you know, this is so corny. But I mean, I kind of like the thing about calling each other brother and sister. Brother Jose, Sister Kristen, Brother Rick, Sister Gina, Sister Molly. That's what they, you know, they used to say that back in the old days, and we've lost that. But they called each other brothers and sisters because they had recognized this is the body of Christ, and these people sitting next to me are my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And because of that, they deserve honor. They deserve respect. And there's a way that we treat our brothers and sisters. And that gets lost in this day and age. But not recognizing the body of Christ. And so when you receive communion, you let go of hatred. You come forward to receive and you let go of hatred that may have creeped in because the enemy loves hatred. He loves to bring strife and division, envy, jealousy, contempt for each other, bitterness. Y'all know what bitterness is? Bitterness gets so ugly, man, it just boils up on the inside of you and you can't control your words and your actions. Just so much hate. Because they've wronged me, they've hurt me. You know, even here today, I mean, what's, you know, I don't want to know, but what's going on here today? How many people here have aught with their brother? How many here today have unforgiveness? How many even couples maybe sitting together, you just, you know, can't stand each other? How many here, how about this one? We judge each other. Who likes to be in presence of people that judge you? Do you love them? Let's have them over for Christmas dinner. And they just sit there in judgment. You know what the scripture says? Judge not, and you won't be judged. And so, you know, we love to sit around the table and judge this one and judge that one and judge this person. You know, I would just say this, before you get the pebble out of your brother's eye, why don't you get that big, giant log out of your eye? Praise God, joy to the world. The Lord has come. You got to have understanding what Jesus came to do. And he's all about relationships. He's all about people. It's not about stuff. Stuff is only just a tool to reach people. Stuff is only a tool to bless people. It's when you give, it's a sign of love. It's not having stuff. And I guess, you know, turning 50, I'm very reflective. Maybe this is my turning 50 communion message today. I don't know. But I mean, I'm just more and more aware of stuff. It's all going to burn. The best thing I can do with my stuff is to help others. Put it in other people so they can receive the gospel. So I guess I just beg with you today. I just plead with you. Let it go. I beg you. Let it go today. This ought or whatever you have against people or whatever, even if they just wronged you, just let it go today. Forgive them. forgive them. And I tell you, if you would do that, talk about having the best Christmas that you've ever had. And you know, and it's hard. Well, how do you do that? And it's impossible in yourself. Because we can say, well, I forgive them, I do this. The Holy Spirit is the only way He can help you. But He can't help someone that's unwilling to be helped. So the biggest thing you can do, even if you don't know the words or even how to do it, just say, Holy Spirit, help me to do this. And if you open your heart to Him, He will come in like He's always done. And He will flood in and He will give you His grace. Because grace, mercy and grace, grace is the ability beyond your ability. How can I get saved? His grace. It's impossible for me to do these different things. How do I do it? Through His grace. He gives me the ability. He enables me. So if you open your heart and you choose to be willing, God can come in. He can come in there and He'll help you to forgive. Isn't that amazing? Now, some people are thinking, well, you know, I don't feel worthy to receive these elements today. I like the story of the old woman that was going to receive communion, and she hesitated to receive the elements. And the minister said to her, take it, woman. It is for sinners. It is for you. If the communion table were only for perfect people, there's nobody here today that could come and receive. Amen. Ushers, if you can get things ready. Hallelujah. So what we'll do is we'll receive the elements. We'll come forward and receive them. And if you want to, you don't have to, but take it back to your seat. You know, you can pray and reflect, and we'll all receive it together. But isn't it amazing? I mean, we're doing something that was instituted 2,000 years ago. Isn't it amazing the connections we have with the body of Christ? But it isn't amazing that we have our church family and being here today together, brothers and sisters. You know, someone was here last week for the Christmas concert, and they were talking about the different colors at Good News Church. Colors of the people. And almost like it was kind of difficult for him. And then the wife said to him, well, that's what heaven's going to be like. But we're a body. We're a body. We're a family. We're together. And so we